Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues, here on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. You heard our conversation with Abraham Hamilton III. If you want to listen to Abe and the program, The Hamilton Corner, it's an excellent program. If you haven't heard it, it's each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time, right here on AFR. Well, there is a United States Senate race in, a third of the Senate's always up for, United States Senate every 2 years up for re-election. And in the case of the state of Alabama, there is a Democrat, Doug Jones, who will face off against either Jeff Sessions or Tommy Tuberville coming up in November. And Coach Tommy Tuberville is with us now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. When last we talked, you were enjoying a nice day there in Auburn.
Well, I've spent a lot of nice days there for the past month. Can't go anywhere.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You know, knowing your personality type, I don't know you well personally, but I know you enough to know you like to get out and meet folks and see folks and talk to folks, especially now you're running for Senate and you got to stay at home. What do?
Well, you stay on the phone, you do a lot of radio and hopefully some Zoom with people and TV. You know, you just try to stay busy. I think we're getting ready to start cranking it out here, maybe in a few more days. But it's a little different for 12 months. I didn't take many days off. I hit it from 6 in the morning to 10 at night for 12 straight months. And all of a sudden, after our primary, getting ready for our runoff, which was about 2 weeks away, the pandemic hits and everything's canceled until July the 14th. So 75 days, I think, from this Saturday, we will have an election. So that's plenty of time to go out and do the campaigning. I'm excited about it. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy people, as you well know, and like to go out and do something that's beneficial for the people of the state and this country. So I'm excited about it.
I want to ask you, on your website, TommyForSenate.com, one of your core values you mentioned is individual liberty. And let me just read what you say here and then get you to comment on it, because we're testing that right now in our country. What is the role of government? How far can government go to regulate our liberties? But you said, I'm running for the United States Senate because I believe liberals in Washington are out of control. I believe the first duty of government is to protect our individual liberty. And you say some other things there too, but what are you talking about there?
Well, about freedom. I mean, the number one thing we have in this country is we pretty much do what we want, as long as it's with the law. And there's a lot of things that now are being challenged, not just weekly, but daily. As you just mentioned, there's probably some things that we could challenge as of today about the government quarantining this country and putting a lot of people out of work, taking their jobs or businesses away from them. And, you know, this is very unusual circumstance that we have. And there's no precedent set for how you handle this as a country or as a government. But there's a lot of doubt in a lot of people's minds as we speak today is this really constitutional? You know, can the government shut us down like this? And I think from a standpoint of health, we all understand why the government's doing this. But I'll tell you, it has really put a lot of people in harm's way. We need to really balance it, and we need to come out of this as soon as possible. I've got friends that are in small businesses, and they have 20, 30 employees. They'll never go back to the business. The storefront will never open up again. And these people live on very small margins, and there's 30 million small businesses in this country. Think about that, 30 million. And probably, I would say today, a third of them are not going to open back up. A lot of people are really going to be suffering. So that being said, is this constitutional, what our government did to us? We'll find out. I think there'll be a lot of discussion. But, again, we did it for the right reasons. We try to save people's lives. But We're going to lose a lot of people because of suicides and other things too, because of the problems that they're going to deal with through these tough economic times.
Steve.
Hey, good morning, Coach. I'm curious. Washington and the political environment right now in this country is as divisive, as poisonous as it's ever been in the world. What in the world possessed you to think you want to get in the middle of all that? That just seems, why?
If I didn't think I could help, I wouldn't be doing this. I coached for 40 years. I'm financially fine. I'm not going to take a salary. The money I make in Washington is going to go to the veterans of the state of Alabama. I've actually had a job. I've seen the problems. A lot of these politicians and lawyers in Washington, D.C. don't understand, the small rural areas. They don't understand the schools. They don't understand businesses. They don't understand how people make a living daily. They don't understand how much we've lost our education system in this country in the last 20 years. There's a lot of things that are going sideways on us. Just the simple fact that there's no common sense, there's no wisdom. You can have all these smart people you want in Washington, D.C. Smart doesn't win for you. It's wisdom, work ethic, and common sense. And, I'm going to tell you something. I understand what's going on. I told my wife about 10 years ago, I'm going to help some way when I get out of coaching, because this country's not going to survive the direction we're going. We need term limits. We need new people, new faces up there often. We need to make sure this country gets a perspective of this generation and not three generations ago. We've had people up there 40 years. It's ridiculous. And so I'm running as an outsider, obviously. I'm a different type of guy. Again, I'm going to speak my voice a lot like President Trump. Now, President Trump has endorsed me, and I think he endorsed me because I'm pretty much similar to him. I understand business. I run a $100 million business and coaching college football with 150 employees for a long time. It is hard. It is hard to do that balance. So yeah. We've got to have new vision in Washington, D.C. If we don't, we're not going to make it. We've got to get God back in this country, and we've got to get our education straightened out. Those two things are the most important things, because without those two, you don't have a democracy, you don't have a republic, and you don't have freedom.
Coach Tommy Tuberville joining us. Who's running for Senate in Alabama. Coach, thanks so much for your time. We wish you the best. Look forward to talking to you again sometime real soon.
Thank you. Thank y'all.
Okay,
have
bye-bye.
A great day. God bless.
Anyway, he's running for the Senate in Alabama. We've got a primary, Jeff Sessions, and he will go head-to-head, I think, in July.
Yeah, I think he said July 14th, I think he said.
Yeah, and then the winner will take on Doug Jones in November. It's a big race over there because Republicans need to get that seat back.
Right.
If you're looking down the road. Steve, go ahead with what you've got leading the news this hour.
You know, I know we've been talking a little bit about these claims by Tara Reid against Joe Biden, and that the media has been kind of silent on them. Well, and this just happened recently. I found this too late to get the audio on of this, but I do have it, and we can play it tomorrow if we want. But Stacey Abrams, one of the leading contenders to be Joe Biden's running mate, was on CNN, and she was asked by Don Lemon specifically about the allegations. Lemon went into some detail about what those allegations were and what does Stacey Abrams believe. Well, I was a little surprised that they would do that because they hadn't to this point. Her answer was, I believe that women deserve to be heard, and I believe they need to be listened to, but I also believe those allegations have to be investigated by credible sources. The New York Times did a deep investigation, she lied, and they found that the accusation was not credible. I believe Joe Biden.
Who said that?
This is Stacey Abrams, former governor of Georgia, who was...
That's what Klobuchar said, the senator from Minnesota. It's the same thing. They're citing the New York Times as their source for the investigation.
Well, I thought it was interesting until the pieces fell in place when Billy over our... one of our editors over at the One News Now brought me this thing from BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed found the Biden campaign talking points that Joe Biden sent out to everybody, how they're supposed to answer these things. And that's exactly what the talking points are. The New York Times did weeks of investigation. They found nothing. And, oh, by the way, Biden is a terrific advocate for women, da-da-da-da-da-da, right down the line.
By the way, even if you do cite the New York Times article from whenever it was, 2 weeks ago, new information has come forth.
Right.
Which supports Tara Reid's claim. So they're not, by citing the New York Times, they're not addressing that. This is, as I said, I use the word, this is contorting on the part, and it's painful to watch, really, on the part of the Democrats and the media. They know, most of them know in their heart this is probably true, right? In their mind. Or at least they know the standard far, the story far exceeds what was against Kavanaugh, right?
Right.
Brett Kavanaugh, in terms of the evidence to support her claim that is Tara Reade's. And they don't know what to do with this because they hate Donald Trump so much.
Right.
Like the idea of now having to go through a new candidate to try to take on Trump, even though Biden is weak, they're saying to themselves, I'm talking about if you're the Democrats and you're liberal media, we know it's true, you know, or it's likely true, or there's a lot of evidence.
If you had an undercover conversation, give them truth serum. Right.
Give them truth serum.
We know
they would say, we know it's true, or it certainly sounds worth an investigation, or this guy probably, we know he's creepy already.
Right.
Shouldn't be our nominee, but we can't, we're going to have to surrender on our values right here.
Right.
In the name of beating Donald Trump, which is a greater mission.
You're assuming they had values to begin with. Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry.
Well, and let's point out, too, that Stacey Abrams, who's a failed gubernatorial candidate, she lost in the election. It was close, though,
Georgia.
For Georgia. But she's, like, actively campaigning to become Joe Biden's vice presidential candidate. So what else is she going to say?
Right. Right.
She wants to be the VP.
I'll tell you what else she says. She said if she had any integrity, seems to me she would say, you know, this woman sounds like she's believable, and there's some things to support her, and I'm going to withhold my judgment on this, at least, till further details come forth.
But not if you want to be the vice presidential candidate.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, selling your soul.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned, in politics, oftentimes it's a binary choice.
Yeah.
And I was for Ted Cruz.
Right.
All right? In the primary with Donald Trump. But Trump beat him. So I had to choose between Trump, now President Trump, and the Democrat. I wasn't going to vote for a Democrat.
Right.
Because they're pro-abortion and all these other things.
Yeah, but you did not... You did not deny that President Trump had some baggage from his past.
No, that's the reason I struggled.
Right.
As a lot of Christians did.
So I think for a lot of people in the media and the Democrats, I would have more respect for them if they just said, listen, we know Joe Biden's probably guilty, but there's no way where we can allow
Donald
Trump.
We're not going to abandon our support of him over this issue.
Yeah.
Just say that.
That just come out and say it. Donald Trump is evil, and we need to get rid of him.
This would have saved us a lot of trouble during the Kavanaugh hearing, right?
Right. You said this. Tell what you used to
say. What the Democrats should have done during the Kavanaugh hearing is just say, listen, this guy is likely to overturn Roe versus Wade, so under no circumstances are we voting in favor of him.
We're not even going to have hearings.
We all know we're voting no.
Right.
So why do we want to go through this exercise of pretending we believe this woman who has a story that's unbelievable, right? And why take our country through that, drag us through that? Besides, we could be setting up a standard that we might live to regret one day.
Yes.
So let's just say we're voting no and save us all the trouble and see if we win, okay? Instead, they do this. What they did to Brett Kavanaugh was horrible to the man's family. And horrible to the process, and now here we are, what, 2 years later, and they're having to live out their standard, and it's not going so well for the Democrats. So, all right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. In fact, I think a lot of issues in our country could be settled and discussed and voted on without having to go through all the fighting and...
Right.
Huh? And all the smearing and all the bad talk we do about one another, I would just say, if I were a Democrat, I'm voting for this. I'm voting against Kavanaugh because I disagree with his judicial philosophy, and I don't need any evidence one way or another on whether or not he groped a girl in high school.
Yeah, nothing I could possibly learn from this hearing is going to change my mind. Nothing.
Right, right. Now, so the political motivation, Steve, to me, Sam, something like that would be probably, you would say, okay, that's, I understand, Tim, what you're saying there, but we've got to sway the mind of the independent voter out there against Trump. How do we do it? We say Trump has put up a nominee to be Supreme Court Justice that groped a girl in high school, and therefore he doesn't care about women.
Right.
And so vote against Trump because he did that. I mean, I guess that's the only reason I could figure out why you would want to get into that when you're going to vote for him. And Democrats were always going to vote against Kavanaugh, and they'll vote against anybody a Republican puts up for a Supreme Court. And the Republicans will probably vote against anybody that the Democrats put up for a Supreme Court. So why don't we want to go through all the, right, you know, all the angst?
The dog and pony
for
show.
For really no good reason.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Politics has become a blood sport for the Democrats. They are not willing to just gently set someone aside when they can trample him. And as to the talk about Republicans reflexively voting against the Democrat nominee, that didn't happen. Sonia Sotomayor and
it doesn't happen as often.
They were, a lot of Republicans voted. They figured that Barack Obama's president, it was his choice.
Right.
And so they're going to honor that.
Yeah, yeah. To the victor go the spoils. Mm-hmm. And if somebody wins the presidency, they have the right to appoint Supreme Court justices and federal judges. That's why it was so important that Donald Trump won. And that was a big issue for a lot of Christians to vote for him. We saw the legacy he was going to leave through the courts as opposed to Hillary Clinton. And what she would have done by putting these far-left judges on our court systems all over America that were going to... And that was, you talk about a generational difference. So that was a big deal. So, yeah, but the Republicans have been fairer towards Democrat presidents on their judicial appointments than Democrats have been with Republicans. Republican presidents. I think that's obvious for the stats that Steve's talking about there.
Right.
But the Democrats know when they have to try to take out somebody like Clarence Thomas or like
Bork
or like Kavanaugh, they need to get personal and smear them. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do. Not we disagree with your judicial philosophy.
Right.
So... Go ahead, Steve.
I know you guys spent a little bit of time with Abe talking about China and its complicity. This next story, if it weren't so tragic, it would be hilarious. Beijing has a state-run newspaper called the Global Times. And just today, they put out this statement. They declared today that the U.S. government has failed its people and the world as America now accounts for a third of the global infections. And they say Chinese people will not allow their country to suffer vast infections like the U.S. The gall.
Well, that's what happens when you're a communist country, totalitarian dictatorship, and no investigative reporting is allowed, and no truth is allowed other than what the state decides is true. So we may never know how many people died in China of the coronavirus, or how many cases they had, or what kind of lengths they went to suppress the spread of the virus. We may never know because they're a totalitarian dictatorship.
I've heard this said about the Democrat Party by some conservatives, and maybe it applies here too. It's a fair bet to say whatever they're accusing you of doing is what they were doing themselves.
Yeah. Projecting.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, did you guys cover the Hillary Clinton bite where she talked about letting a crisis go to waste? Did you play that?
We did not play that.
Well, she's been musing about how we can whether Americans need more of another paycheck, basically, from the government. In fact, she said she is it's worth considering a guaranteed income, universal income. In another bite, the bite I'm going to play for you right now, she's talking about health care. This was in her endorsement of Joe Biden. You'll hear Joe Biden at the end of this, where he's talking about what they can do with this crisis. This is cut five.
It needs to be part of a much larger system that eventually and quickly, I hope, gets us to universal health care. So I can only say amen to everything you're saying, but also to, again, enlist people that this would be a terrible crisis to waste, as the old saying goes. We've learned a lot about what our absolute frailties are in our country when it comes to health justice and economic justice. So, you know, let's be resolved that we're going to solve those once you're elected president.
I promise you that's going to be my objective.
He actually woke up to answer the question.
Boy, he sounded awful. Now, admittedly, that's a short clip from Vice President Biden.
Do you blame a man for falling asleep when Hillary Clinton's speaking? I can't fault the guy right there. I'm sorry. There's other things I disagree with him about, but I'm napping too.
Really? You could fall asleep listening to that voice?
You're trying to escape it any way you can. You're better than doing drugs.
That's true.
It was interesting. During that, if you watch the video of that exchange between Hillary and Joe, oftentimes when she was talking, he would look down at his papers for extended amounts of time, effectively looking like he was asleep.
Oh, man.
It was amazing.
Well, and I got to say this. Hillary Clinton, as the old saying goes, she said, never let a crisis go to waste. It's not an old saying. It was Rahm Emanuel under the Obama administration. It's not all that old.
Right.
It's just the last time a progressive was in charge.
What that means is take advantage of people when they're vulnerable. That's what it means.
To advance your agenda.
To advance your agenda, take advantage of them while they're vulnerable, while they can't.
Take advantage of people suffering.
Right. Yeah. That's what it means.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it means, which is Nancy Pelosi's mantra, too.
Never let a good crisis go to waste, because what do I care? I'll just sit back and eat ice cream.
Let them eat ice cream.
We got a minute, Steve.
All right.
What are you going to do with it?
I'd like to tell you about some headlines. The Babylon Bee has helped us out with the research here. President Trump said good morning this morning, and we have now how 12 different news outlets covered that controversial claim of good morning. Fox said Trump unveils a plan to make mornings great again. CNN says, can you believe what Fox said about this? And MSNBC said, you know who else has mornings? Russia. And then, of course, One American News, who's kind of on the president's side, glorious leader Trump causes sun to rise in the east once again. And, of course, Snopes fact-checked it and found that it was false. It's not a good morning.
And I'm surprised that nobody said, of course, the Babylon Bee, it's a satirical.
Yes.
This is a satire. I'm surprised they didn't have some lamestream media outlet saying, oh, Trump thinks it's a good morning when people are dying.
Well, there's a lot of things that I didn't read. There's like some of the, you know. Okay. The Babylon Bee even poked fun at themselves. Their headline was, AOC doesn't even know how to spell good morning. What an idiot.
All right, Steve. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Thank y'all, to use a common Southern expression, thank y'all for listening.
And today, y'all come back.
Y'all come
to our
back.
Listeners.
You hear? Huh? Where's that line from?
Y'all come back now? You hear?
You hear?
Is that Hee-Haw?
No.
But y'all come back now.
Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, Beverly Hillbillies. That's right.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.